I'm just gonna go lay a little foundation, okay? This is not the Gok foundation, this is the foundation of this world, which is now gonna be, is already, because Jesus, when he finished the work at the cross. It was already done away with. But we are still coming out in many ways of this good and evil realm that we have lived in for so long and are so accustomed to it that automatically we react in that way. But that's okay, because now we are aware of it. There was many, many years when I was not aware that I was living off the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. I just, that was just my life. I didn't know anything else. So I'm just going to lay a little bit there, because I really believe we're going to have a paradigm shift. And that's good. And I mean the whole world. Ooh, can you see it already?
Mm-hmm.
I can see it beginning to happen.
Yes.
This paradigm shift, you know. Peace on earth. Goodwill to all the people.
Mm-hmm.
All the people. You know, so what a world that is. So we are living in this, tasting of that already. So we are getting to know God the way he really is. Not a concept. Not the way that we have believed God was. A God that we created according to our idea. Because we are humans. So we understand a God that is human. So we make him that way. We make him to be good and evil. You see, but they were all concepts. You know what? And I was praising God, that concept that I had, and I loved him with all my heart, but unfortunately he was up there somewhere. You know? See, so then, you know, that wasn't it. But I didn't know that for 10, 15 years. I was just worshiping this Father. So it's already been a big shift, you know? So now there's more coming, more shifting into that true being that we are. So righteousness and justice are the foundations of his throne. So I used to think that he was sitting on the throne up there, you know? But the throne, as most of you all now know, is the domain, the kingdom of God. That we cannot see, but we are tasting it. We're living in it. Because the kingdom of God, Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. So it's a kingdom, it's a throne where righteousness and justice are the foundation. It's so wonderful. So we read in, this is something what Tony was sharing once, righteousness is the original mind or substance of creation. Now, righteousness is not an old-fashioned word. It is a wonderful word. Righteousness is the original mind. God is a righteous God.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean he is good. That means he's just righteous. And he is just. And he is honorable. Where have I got that? Here somewhere. Acting or being in accordance with what is just, honorable, and free from guilt or wrong. Completely free. A freedom that Jesus came to bring us back into. And we're still coming back into that. Because I know I haven't fully apprehended, like Paul said. Because I know at times that I haven't fully got that full freedom that Jesus came to reveal to us. So, you know, some beautiful scriptures in Psalms where it says, 85, mercy and truth have met together, righteousness and peace have kissed. So this is a beauty, a holiness that we are now partaking of. We are partaking of this holiness and this beauty, which is absolutely so wonderful. That's why his name is called Wonderful. And so what do we find ourselves today in 2011? We found our many times still, like David, still many, now I'm talking kind of, I'm not talking specifically us, I'm talking as a whole, okay? Actually, the message is kind of as a whole, for the whole world, for everyone, you see, because some of us are still tasting good and evil. We're tasting sometimes that we are not well, sometimes we're healthy. We're still kind of going in and out. So I'm just talking like that, okay? Because at times we are okay, but other times we haven't quite fully understood yet. So, you know, like even David, you have turned from your fierceness of your anger. So what does David know? David knows a God that is angry. You know, and I used to think God was angry. I used to think God was sitting up there with a stick. And every time I moved the wrong way, you know, he belt me one, you see. So it's nothing strange what David is saying. We've all been there. We've all had the feeling of that. And then he says, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. Another time he says, as for me, I will behold your face in righteousness, and I will be satisfied. So he has that experience. Then the next sentence you read, he's way down again and God's wrath is being revealed to him again. So we hear Moses say in Psalm 90, you turn man to destruction. He's talking about God. And he says there, you turn man to destruction. So he knows, see, we're knowing a God of good and evil, and we can read that right through the Old Testament, you know, backwards and forwards. Then David says, hear my cry, O Lord, attend unto my prayer. In our humanity, that's what I used to call out to, because we were in despair, and I used to cry, hear my cry, O Lord, can't you see? What a terrible time that we're having. Hear my cry, O Lord, you see? And he does. It does. It does change. It does answer. It something does begin to happen in your life. But now I know God says to me, hear me. You begin to hear me. But I never knew anything about that. All I knew was my cry towards God. God help me. I'm in trouble. That is always our cry in humanity. Mm-hmm. So now there's coming a paradigm shift. We are shifting from that crying out and not knowing and being frustrated. There's a change now in all of us already. But we are going on into a deeper understanding of all that, you know. And so, what do we have then? We have formed religion. Now, see, I'm going back hundreds of years, okay. We've got a world that is in gross darkness, and religious systems have risen, and people would flock there because they would feel comfort there, right? They would still feel that they are obeying God and walking with Him. Okay, so we can see then, we all know about Martin Luther having a revelation, coming out of that system, and it nearly cost his life. Had the prince from Germany not protected him, and would he have gone back to Rome, he would have disappeared. And I had a friend stay with us from South America, and she said, you know, this priest, he began to write the most beautifulest truths and books, and she said, all of a sudden, he was gone. This just disappeared. We didn't know whatever happened to him or where he was. Mm-hmm. But, and you know, then from that, if you've looked up, I looked it up a little bit on the internet, like when Calvin came and got the revelation, mm-hmm. and there was lots of things happening. And then the baptism began to be revealed to these, some people, you know, I think this was in Switzerland where I was reading. And you know, that man had the revelation by baptism by immersion, mm-hmm. you know, he was killed for that. He was drowned. They put him in a bag and they put him in the river because he had a revelation mm-hmm. that was no longer a sprinkling baptism, but it was a baptism by immersion. So we get the Baptist church out of that, you see? But they didn't go on listening to God. They made a fence around them. Luther, Mike has studied Luther for 2 years, and he said Luther at the end of his days told everyone to burn all the books of his early awakening, and that the last book that he had written, they should go by that revelation. And there was a greater, much greater freedom, less religious, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. A freedom of knowing God. So we look over the past times of all that, and then in the turn of the century, 1900, remember the stories from Azusa Street? Mm-hmm. How the baptism of the Holy Spirit become a reality, what nobody knew, and how much persecution did these people get? Bah! How much move of the Spirit there was in that time. And, oh, the stories were just amazing. You see, but all that kind of turns again into a system. See, where people then, again, are in bondage, really. And of course, lots of religions came out of that, and I know some of that because I was in some of that. So what can we see? What has happened over all these years with all these fences? So we have a world now that is like that, you know. So has it done what Jesus said in John 17? I am in you, and you are in me.
Mm-hmm.
That's the message.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a message of all sorts of names. See, as a young person, because I was brought up in Baptist church, my mom was a Baptist. And I, you know, as a teenager, had the question in my heart, how come there's only one God? How come we have so many translations about this God, you know? And they can't come together, because they used to, when you get together, and I mean, I've done that too. Fighting with the Word of God, you know? Showing how right you are and how you've got it. You've got it, man. And you just don't have it. So you've got to listen to me. I've got the revelation. I've done all that. And so there's nothing strange. I know everything what I've done and what is still happening. What I'm coming to say now, the question, how come so many? And, you know, the Father over my lifetime has answered that question to me. It's absolutely wonderful. Because, you see, when we were so down and out, Tony and I, we had nowhere to turn anymore. The Word of God came to us a second time. Oh, wow. You know that scripture, Jeremiah 33?
Mm-hmm.
While I was yet in prison,
mm-hmm.
and we were yet in prison, in our minds, with mm-hmm. all our beliefs and our fears and our phobias,
mm-hmm.
God came to us a second time.
Mm-hmm.
And He opened our understanding. And He says, you are not what you think you are. I have made you the righteousness of God in Christ.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And is there any name tags on that? So this is going to be the paradigm shift in this world. When all the religions will fade away.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to see that. We're going to see all those fade away.
Mm-hmm.
And we are all going to come to the gate of righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what I was going to think we're going to see. But we'll see it at the end. You know, that scripture I quoted every time because it saved my life. It didn't save my life. It caused me to realize what my life is. Because I didn't have a life to save. It had to be done away with. My humanity had to be done away with. And I rose up in a new life. In this life that Jesus came to reveal. And, oh gosh, that was so beautiful. So, I sort of have made you understand about all this, what we are still seeing out there. But you know, in reality, it says that Jesus said it was finished. In reality, God is reigning already right now. You know, he only sees everything the way as himself. He only knows himself because Jesus took everything from this world upon himself and it died. He died. He says, I am he that liveth and was dead. He was dead. He came to show us the way. You know? So I go now to that scripture where I have been already sharing a few times. And that is in Genesis 49 verse 10. And you know, if you read that about Jacob is laying hands on his sons and he speaks a word over all his sons. And how much you can see that the world of good and evil, you know. Genesis 49 verse 10. But if you read before, you know, it was a pretty wild world in those days, but nothing's changed, really. Everything is still the same as what it was then. So I'd just like to read you the first two verses, because here's Jacob, he's got all these sons, and he's about to depart. And he kind of, that's what they must have used to do in those days, he puts his hand on them. So he starts off with Reuben. And he said, Reuben, you are my firstborn, my might and the beginning of my strength, the excellency of dignity and the excellency of power, unstable as water, and you shall not excel. Because you went up to your father's bed, then you defiled it, and he went up to my couch. So that was the story of Reuben. Then he goes over Simeon. He said, instruments of cruelty are in thy dwelling place. Let not my soul, Jacob says, enter into that council. Let not thy honor be united to their assembly. For in their anger they slew a man, and in their self-will they hamstrung an ox, cursed by their anger, for it is fierce, and their wrath, for it is cruel. I will divide them in Jacob and scatter them in Israel. Can you see the world of good and evil? And now all of a sudden, he's got this word for Judah. And now it is really all of a sudden God speaking. You see, God speaks any time, any place that he wants to speak a word. And here it comes. He speaks, Judah is a lion's whelp. From the prey, my son, you have gone up. He bows down, he lies down as a lion. And as a lion, who shall rouse him? You see, you couldn't touch him because, see, he was to be anointed. You know, he was anointed. But you know, I shared that with some of you, but I'm going to share it again. Because in that, you can even see the principles, you know, that are so powerful, really. Because, as you all know the story, that Jacob came to the well and he saw Rachel, okay? He fell in love with Rachel, but you know the story, the custom of their culture was that the older daughter goes first and then the next daughter. So Jacob finds himself in bed with Leah and he wanted Rachel. So, I mean, that was a terrible, terrible shock. He never did love Leah, but he loved Rachel. And you know, Leah, can you see how cruel cultures are? Mm-hmm. You know, cultures, and that's this world. And that's the paradigm shift. That is all going to be done away with. All these cultures that people have that are being separated, the most cruelest things are happening in cultures because that's what they believe. And Leah lived that. She lived that with a man that did not love her. And so she gives him one son. She said, now my husband will love me. See, that we are, in our humanity, we are needing something from outside to love us. So the second time she has a baby again, she said, now he will love me, or he will be attached to me because I bear him another son. And no, because he loved Rachel. He didn't love Leah. So here this lady goes around with this pain and humiliation, really, all her life. Because, and so the third time, she's giving another a son, you see. And so, you read, I've forgotten the three different words. And again, but you know what? See, she got right over the top of that, humanity. Because the fourth time, she again brings forth a son. And she said, you know what? No word about her husband. She says, now I will praise the Lord, she says. She really learned a lot from the story of Leah, because you see, at the end, she lived with the Lord, you know. She began to praise the Lord. She didn't expect any more from her husband. You know what? Wait, you know what? This is our experience now, you know. We are fulfilled within ourselves. That doesn't mean that we don't love our husband or love our wife. But you know, God is our maker, is our husband, really, or our wife, the other way around, or, you know, it's so beautiful. So you never are in pain in such a way that you need to be fulfilled in that area. You can be, and that's the freedom that Jesus has brought to us. So here comes Judah, and she calls him Judah. And you know what Judah means? Judah means praise. We all know that, don't we? But you know, it says here then in the scripture, verse 10, the scepter shall not depart from Judah. Now, the scepter, we all know, is kind of a ruling rod. With the scepter, I knight you, okay? The Son of God, see? And that's forever. That's the authority that the scepter has. So, we have had books over these years all about praise, haven't we? You know, with there was these books there, I don't know, 10 or 15 or how many, long ago was that, 20, 30 years ago, when all these books came out about praising God, regardless if your car breaks down or all to, you know, you get a flood or a fire, or just praise the Lord. And so we did that, didn't we?
Yes.
But then after a while, it that cools off again, doesn't it? But nevertheless, the principle is there. But the principle is there. It's here, right here. The scepter shall never depart from Judah. So the scepter, an authority, a ruling substance, will never go away from praise. When you praise a child. Tony said the other, what you praise, you raise. and then we went to, we saw that movie Helping Hands. I don't know if any of you guys have seen that. Cuban plays in that. Helping Hands it's called. And there's this little dark lady. It was an American movie with this child. And this child constantly said, I'm dumb, Mom. I'm dumb. And you know what? This lady couldn't read herself. She couldn't read it, so it's a beautiful movie. And she said, no, you are not dumb. You are this, that, and the other. And you can do this, and you can do that. And that was this child. This little boy grows up. It's a true story, by the way. It's a true story. This boy grows up to a doctor that operated in the brain, didn't it? Huh? Yeah. You know, it's beautiful. So what you praise, you raise. See? Isn't that true? Mm-hmm. When as a child, like most of us in our time, like Tony was always told, he's no good, you know, can't expect anything from you. So what do you get, you see? So there's a principle in this. The scepter shall not depart from Judah. The scepter will never depart from praise.
Mm-hmm.
It's beautiful.
Yes.
You know? And Leah got that. In the end, she said, and now I will praise the Lord. Never said anything about her husband loving her or not loving her. Oh, that is precious.
Yes.
That is so precious. Because that's powerful. Because some of us have still got, and out in this world, there's many people that are suffering immensely in their emotions and in their lives and their experiences because they don't know this. They don't know God. So, I mean, where can you go? You just continue to suffer. It's just really tremendous. So then it says, where are we? Verse 10. The scepter shall not depart from Judah. Now this is Jacob speaking over his son, you know. I think that is just awesome. Because he before that was all this bad stuff over all the other sons. And now he accounts for Judah. He speaks the word of God. Oh, wow. So, and then he says, nor the lawgiver from between his feet. See that the lawgiver is the law of the spirit of life. Will never, never depart. Never depart. Always there. And until Shiloh comes, and to him shall be the obedience of the people. Now, I got it in another translation, and that says, the scepter will not depart from Judah, or the staff from between his feet, until he whose right it is comes. And the obedience of the people belongs to him. Okay, so we get a prophecy here, a promise that is going to come. And he whose right it is to come. Now, we were created in God's image and in God's likeness.
Yes.
That's how we were created in Genesis 1. Okay? Then we went on to a sidetrack, and now this promise comes again that that it will come until he comes whose right it is, and unto him shall the obedience of the people be. Now we've got still another translation again that says, unto him shall the gathering of the people be. Remember that one? We used to sing that one.
Yeah.
We are gathering together unto him, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. And so this is are you coming with me? This is this paradigm shift that is going to come over this whole world. Because you see, when he comes whose right it is, who is that? That's the Christ, the image of God. Has that got any separation in it? Has that got any doctrines and beliefs that keeps people separate and apart? No. In Christ there's only one voice. And it will be all the same voice. We will all see eye to eye. We will all know that this is the one whose right it is to come. So, okay, so then we get, then we, and it goes on much, much more. But then we'll be here all week just talking about that. So I'm just going out now to Isaiah 11. Because even in Isaiah 9, you know, it is also beautiful unto him. No, wait on. I've forgotten it.
unto us
a child is born. Unto us a son is given. So it's, can you see that? Every time that word comes, you know. And I think Elizabeth, when Elizabeth here in the scriptures, she said, when God says something, it's going to come to pass. And here we are. We are partaking. This day is this scripture, this sharing fulfilled in your ears. This day, what we are talking about is not anymore something that's in the future. We are partaking of what we are sharing here tonight. because he whose right it is has come to me. And he is coming forth now. What is coming forth? Christ in you, the hope of glory. And even further now, I know Christ is my life.
Mm-hmm.
So we are partaking of what was said there in Genesis so long ago. And here we are. We are tasting it. We are living it. We are partaking of this beauty of holiness. We are no longer in this world. We are in that world that Jesus came to reveal, which is whose right it is to be. It was God's right all the time that we should know him and walk with him. But we went off the beaten track. You know, we took a side road there. And by God's wonderful grace, he's brought us back.
Mm-hmm.
And so in Isaiah 11, it's so wonderful when we know all these scriptures, because see, now it's a reality. It's not something that we are reading what's going to happen some 20 or 30 or whatever years further down the track, or maybe hundreds of years down the track.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'd just like to read that. There shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. That's the branch of righteousness. You have been hearing about all that as well. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. His delight is in the fear of the Lord. Or I would, not everybody understands that, but that fear to me is reverence. Because we are not afraid of God. We have reverence towards God. And he shall not judge by the sight of his eyes, nor decide by the hearing of his ears, but with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall slay the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his loins, and faithfulness the belt of his waist. And you know, it says in Isaiah 42 that Jesus does not lose courage. He never lost courage until he had done what he came to do. So that's the faithfulness of God. And so we are now walking the same way. We are not losing courage now until he fully comes, whose right it is to come. You know, we can have circumstances sometimes that are really very trying and we don't understand it, but we don't go there now. We stay with God. We stay with him and what he said. And what he says, we will experience. Not if we go off in fear so we stay faithful. We stay faithful and trust. You know, trust what he said, and we will experience what he said. We just got to stay with it. That's how our experience. I mean, we were finished, and Tony would have died then. He was 48. Now he's 78. So it's a few years down the track, but in reality he's not even 78. He is from everlasting to everlasting.
Oh, that's right.
That's where we are, you see. See, can you see how we are constantly coming up higher? And even our Father says all the time to us, come up higher. You know, he's encouraging us all the time, come up higher, trust me, believe me. You know that story about Tony's? You've heard him say many times, when that concrete slab goes around, he's sitting on the concrete slab and you're flying all over the place, but in the end it's that carpet, remember? And then the carpet begins to fray, and then there's nothing left, so we're standing on nothing. We're standing on the trusting our Father, which we can't even see with our physical. It's just all by faith and faithfulness and trusting in his word. And he watches over his word to perform it. To stay with that. To stay with it. That's what we've done these last, well, I don't know how long, since 1980, our tide began to change. So this is so beautiful, isn't it? About Jesus, you know. So then we come to the point where Mary gets the visitation from the angel, and he says that she's going to bring forth this son. And then, what's she saying? How is that going to happen? That's what we all would say, wouldn't we? How's that going to happen? You know, but what did she say then? Let it be done unto me. That's how it started. I had nothing, I had no revelations and all. I just trusted what it said. Mm-hmm. I just believed what it said. And I just, let it be done unto me, Father, unto your word. Mm-hmm. You know, it's so beautiful. And you can trust it. We've seen it so many times. Changing people's lives. Absolutely changing. And so then we know Jesus is born, and then I come, you know, beautiful scripture last Christmas. I've been reading this book for I don't know how long, and this thing just jumped out of me. When Simeon had Jesus in his arm in the temple, when Mary and Joseph came for him to be circumcised, and Simeon was holding, and he says, he has come for a light to the Gentiles. And then in the Weymouth translation it says, for the unveiling of. So what is the unveiling that is happening now? You know, because it said that when the heart turns to the Lord, the veil is rent. Okay? So when our heart, there's a time when our heart will turn to the Lord. Because we know we haven't got it. Don't want to go there anymore. Want to go somewhere where there's peace. So when your heart turns to the Lord, the veil begins to be rent. You know, it doesn't all go, oh, well, you do have an experience, but it's still ongoing. I feel this changing of the veil is continuously going on in my life. It's continuously revealing most beautiful things, even more and more. Paul says, you know, from glory to glory, you are being changed from one degree of glory to another degree of glory, you know. And so to bring forth that image that we were originally created in. And that is that one whose right it is to come. It's the Christ. It's the image of God. That is his right to live that life as the Christ, as that beautiful peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. So I'll just have a little look and see where I'm going. Toronto was a child. Oh yeah, okay. So we then become born of that Spirit. And, you know, you just pick up a book sometimes, and then all of a sudden you get a deeper understanding. It's just written a little bit differently than what you're used to, and then all of a sudden. But the Holy Spirit actually was already showing us that that when Jesus came to speak about being born again, it was going right back to Genesis 1. You know, where we were created in God's image and in God's likeness. And it says that in the message. The light is not very good, but I'll be okay here. And I think most of you will already know that. But we just love that. You know, when Nicodemus comes to Jesus and he asks, and he says, you know, who are you? See? Who are you, you know? Mm-hmm. He didn't really say that, but you can feel that, you know? Mm-hmm. What are you talking about this born again thing, you know? How can you go back into your mother's womb and be born again? And, you know, the natural mind, that humanity that talks a lot, and but doesn't understand anything. And so, you know, and so Jesus said a very striking thing that really blown Tony and me over. You're not listening, Nicodemus. See, I'm telling you something, but you're not really listening. You've got already something to say when I'm still talking. Mm-hmm. Have you experienced that many times?
Mm-hmm.
When you're talking with somebody, you tell them something, they're not really listening. They've already got something else that they want to talk to you about, you see. So we're not listening. So we've got to really learn to listen. So, and there's a new song coming, what a couple were singing to us in Jackson, and it's all about listening. I tell you what, you'll love it. And we will make it available soon when we get home to get the words all printed out and everything. It is amazing, that song, all about, which is not listening, see? We're just talking all the time. So this is what happened. Nicodemus. But what does Jesus say? Unless you surrender to the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Can you see how far we've gone off the track? You know, with all these religions. What, you know, we would have all been one. All, can you imagine that all the people in this country that are all claiming Jesus as their savior, if they would all go to this, let him, you know, let the one that whose right it is come, drop all the doctrines that separate. Wow. You'd have all them as one. How powerful that would be when we are no more struggling with each other. Huh? Aren't we always trying to teach somebody? You know, we know where they're off the track, you know. And that's just one thing now. See, this is now what's happening to me, you know. Trying to correct, see? I don't need to correct anybody now. I know that now. See, but I used to do that. So this is slowly but surely, I'm being cleaned up from all those things that I don't need to do anymore. And you know what? A peace that passes all understanding is coming in my life. And I can just see everybody the way God sees them.
Mm-hmm.
Because I had that experience that God began to say to me, you are my beloved child in whom I am well pleased.
Mm-hmm.
I could not understand that. Because I see myself as my humanity, but God wasn't looking at my humanity, because my humanity all died when Jesus died. But I had not had the revelation of that. But God began to see and speak to me. Mm-hmm. You are my beloved child, in whom I'm well pleased. I said, oh, Father, are you sure? Yeah. He kept on coming. He kept on coming. And he wasn't saying anything else. So then I began to believe what he was saying. And then over the years, I began to get the revelation. God only knows himself. And he only sees himself. We are creatures of himself. And how wonderful is that? See, we're coming to the place, there's no names in that. See, there's no separations in that. It's all one. It's all the same voice. We all hear the same voice. It's life, and life more abundant. And it's a precious, precious. So that's what he's saying here. To go back to Genesis 1, see? Where we were created in God's image and in God's likeness. No separation at all. You know, Paul says that so beautiful in Hebrews 3. He says, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family of heaven and earth is named. That includes the Muslims, did you know that? That includes the Buddhists. That includes the whole family of heaven and earth. He didn't say the family in Australia, where they're supposed to be a Christian nation, and he didn't say that. He said the whole families of the whole earth. You see, because Jesus took all the sin. It says that in 1 John 2, he took the sin of the whole world. It says the whole world. If he says the whole world, that means the whole world. So we can begin then, let that one come whose right it is in our daily. It's not always easy, especially with the government, you know. We struggle with our governments, you see. But, you know, like my little friend Melbourne says, God puts in, etc. So we need to pray for them, you know. I really got that last night. We really need to pray for them.
Yes.
That their eyes may be opened. And that their ears may be opened. They begin to hear this one whose right it is to come. Because that, like, and Wilbur said that last night, we are lovers and we are blessers. If we are the offspring of God, then we are blessers. You know, God has blessed. You know that in the beginning. He looked at it, saw that it was very good, and he blessed it. And you know what? He's never changed his mind.
That's right.
That's right.
He didn't, in Genesis 2 and 3, begin to curse. Forget it. That's not the one from Genesis 1. Okay, that was the concept that Adam began to create. He began to create a God after his own understanding. But God, you read in Genesis 1 and a few verses in Genesis 2, he rested. He finished everything and he rested. And he never then changed his mind. God is in God there is no variableness in him at all. He never changes. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changed. So he's never changed towards us. It's us that have made up all these beliefs and these concepts which separate and which destroys, really. It destroys. It's really very bad, all in the name of God. So much that is happening in the name of God. So to me, this scripture has been such a blessing to me now, and I've been meditating on this, to let that one come whose right it is. And I still have to obey that, because sometimes that is not happening in my life. I experience judgments sometimes, and I am not to judge by the appearance. We're just reading that in Isaiah 11. That nature that comes, that Christ nature, doesn't judge by the appearances. It only judges righteous judgment.
Yes.
And that is an activity that I am walking in, you know. And I don't always succeed. I get sometimes caught up with what happens around me or within me. Sometimes within me, you know, sometimes you feel hurt or whatever, or a pain, or the fear comes, and so we don't go there now. We don't go there. Let that one come, whose right it is, which is Christ in us, the hope of glory, you know. And that glory is so wonderful. There's such a freedom in that that we haven't fully comprehended. I know that. Because I know what the word says, and we haven't fully always comprehended that glory. That's why we're going on to know him aright. And you know what came to me very strong too, for this purpose is the Son of God manifest, to destroy the works of the evil one. No principality or power can stand before our Lord. Well, has he done it? Did he finish it? He did finish it. And so I then allow sometimes to let these principalities and powers upset me. I allow sometimes fear to upset me. Didn't Jesus do away with all that?
Yes.
Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. So I'm meditating on that now. And I'm beginning to experience that more and more. See? So when that another sentence in that scripture from Isaiah, from Genesis 49 verse 10, it says, and unto him shall the obedience or the gathering or the obedience be unto him, so the obedience. How simple is that? You know? Wouldn't that easy make us all one? So easy. You know, because we only have to need to hear what Jesus is saying. What is he saying? A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. And so hear it. Hear it. Let it be a revelation unto you. Let that one that who's right it is come. And I'm now speaking to the whole world. I'm not only speaking this here. Because the Holy Spirit is all over the world. And he can speak to anyone all over the world right now, right this minute. When we are in agreement, we are hearing, we are loving, we are knowing that Jesus did come for this purpose. He came to destroy that thought life that comes to disturb us. These thoughts that come to disturb us sometimes. You don't even know where they come from half the time. And you think, now what in the world is that? So Jesus says, take no thought. Doesn't he say that? Take no thought for your life. What you shall eat. Or it's all so simple. We've had all these complicated doctrines. We just got to come back now. And unto him, unto that Christ, shall the obedience of the people be. Don't you want to obey him? I do. I might struggle sometimes a bit, but really deep down I want to obey my Father, because I know he only got good for me. He only wants me to be free from this thought life, from this carnal thinking that comes from time to time, from the fears, sometimes from the sickness, or anything that comes. It's not our portion. Our heritage is a goodly thing. Our heritage is the offspring of God. That's our heritage, you know. So, unto him shall the obedience of the people be. And I shared that last week, that the obedience in the, In the Latin or in the Greek? I can't remember now. But it really means the hearing. See, and how often does Jesus say that? Be careful how you hear. The way that you hear, it's going to be added onto you. You know? And sometimes we can be tempted with some things that are pretty strong, you know? And so let the hearing be what Jesus has to say. You know, let we hear what Jesus is saying, you know? And he says, no evil, Psalm 91, no evil shall befall you. So we've got to trust what he says. And so what do we have then? We have a hearing ear and we have seeing eyes. And we go back to Genesis 1, and where God says, I create you in my image. Can you ever just think about that for a minute? Just to be created in his image, you know? What the Christ, I've got it here. This Christ, which is in us, whose right it is to come, is divine deity, divine principle, perfection, world soul, the body of Christ, a world soul, a hearing body, a body that is hearing. See, before we were connected in this body of sin. That was, you know, Paul says, I don't do the things that I want to do, and you know, how does that go? And I just want to read that for a minute, because that's got a very important little sentence there. But I want you to hear, to understand the body, this body of sin, or this body of hearing. See, the body of Christ is a hearing body. What are we hearing? And what we are hearing, we will experience. Do you understand that? We are either hearing what that Christ is telling us, or we are hearing this, what Paul says here. I just go back. This is Romans 7. Verse 15, for what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice. But what I hate, that I do. If then I do what I will not to do, I agree with the law that is good. But now it is no longer, see now, listen very carefully. But now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. For I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good, I do not find. Okay, so now we know that in our humanity, in the old way of living, there is no good thing in it, and that's why it had to die, okay? And that sin principle, that body of sin, of the law of sin, he calls it, the law of sin too, doesn't he? So, in that, there is no good thing, and that had to die. That's why Jesus took all that upon himself. So, within me there dwelleth no good thing. Of myself, the old Martha, can do nothing. And said, of my own self, we can do nothing. It's the one whose right it is, Christ in me, the hope of glory. That is my life. See, and if I sin, I have an advocate with the Father. I know that. But I don't want to sin, but I can get trapped. I do sin sometimes. I do forget who I am. Even that is a sin. If I really forget who I am in Christ Jesus, that is a sin too. So I do that sometimes, you see. But I know in that there dwells no good thing. So it's not good for me to stay there too long. Okay? I come running back. And I know where I can be in Christ Jesus. And there's peace. And there's tranquility. So we know all that, you see, that in this humanity dwelleth no good thing. I tell you, it had to die. And so I'm glad it's dead. And because Jesus finished it. So therefore we are free in that now. So this Christ, you know, the world's soul, see, a body of hearing. See, what we hear, be careful what you hear, Jesus said. Be very careful what you hear. So that's why it's so individual. We have to do it for ourselves. See? And then we can be such a blessing to others because we just start giving because God is just giving. God is always giving love. God is always loving. I've experienced that because I didn't think much good of me. And he kept on telling me, you're my beloved child, in whom I'm well pleased. Like, what? Mm-hmm. Yes. But he knew himself, knows himself, what I am created in. I didn't know. I forgot. I didn't know him. Or him or it. It's not really a him, is it? Not really a person. It's a wonderful, wonderful presence that never leaves us nor forsakes. You can't understand that with your mind. It goes beyond. It goes beyond your mind. You just trust it. And I'm experiencing it. It's always there. It never leaves me. It's always wonderful. Its name shall be called wonderful. What more do you want? It's just always speaking of itself. Oh, it's so good. Oh, man, it's so good. So it's a world soul. I'm really beginning to see that. This hearing body, a body you have prepared for me, he said in Psalm 40. We think it's this physical thing. It's a hearing body. Jesus began to hear. He left that Christ. He was born like you and me, born under the law. He was not specially born you know, all spiritual and, you know, on top. He was just like you and me. He was born of a woman, born under the law. He had that law working on him. But we, our conscience, remember our conscience? Mm-hmm. You know, I always thought that was God speaking to me. And he always said, don't do this and don't do that. And God doesn't say that. That was the law. Yeah. See? Mm-hmm. So this conscience had to be purged by the blood of Jesus. Taken out. With a big knife. Ow! You know? Yeah. Isn't that good? Oh, I think it's wonderful. It's wonderful. So we're purged from the law. That's a revelation. I didn't come to do away with that. I'm to fulfill it. Mm-hmm. What's that fulfillment? The love. It's just love. God is love. Mm-hmm. And that's how this world is going to be healed. By the love. That God is going to show through you and me, and all those that are beginning to wake up. There's an awakening. It's here and it's now. We're taking part of it. So just begin to see it happening everywhere. We are the intercessors. Who is that intercessor? Christ is forever interceding within you and me now. He's forever seeing everybody perfect the way they were created. Sin's been done away with. We don't have to try and correct it. You can't correct it. I had this real problem with homosexuals. They just really rubbed me up the wrong way. I just couldn't look at it. Oh, gosh, they just really disturbed me, you know. And I was walking one morning listening to the message, and all of a sudden I just stopped dead in my tracks. Gosh, it's this world. I can't expect anything else in this world. I don't have to correct it. If you want to be a homosexual in this world, be one. You want a lesbian, be one. It's this world. Mm-hmm. And my kingdom is not of this world. I'm separated. That set me completely free. Mm-hmm. They don't bother me one bit now. Because it's this world. That's with everything. Mm-hmm. That's with, we don't have to jump. The government, it's of this world.
Yeah.
It's not a godly government. We don't have a godly government. What can you expect? It's this world. They think they're doing the right thing. So why judge it? Don't have to judge it. It's this world. My kingdom is not of this world.
Yes.
I don't want to live. Mm-hmm. I don't want to expect anything anymore of my government. I just really do see to pray for them, that their eyes might be open.
Yes.
Because you see, in Revelation it says the kingdoms of this world have already become the kingdoms of our God in Christ. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't understand one bit of that, but I know that Jesus finished the work, so it's going to come. Same as we are reading here in Genesis 49, verse 10, that he's coming, and Jacob was picking up. How many years ago? You probably know that how many years ago that is, that Jacob and all these guys were living on this planet Earth. Mm-hmm. And they were speaking. And he spoke out these words. Okay, how many thousands of years down the track are we now?
Yeah.
And we are experiencing that now, what he was saying. Let him come whose right it is. That's all I want. Even though I do behave bad sometimes. But that's still what I want. I still want that Christ to come, whose right it is, because I know it's only going to benefit me.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to benefit me.
Yes.
And if I learn to listen, I have trouble with that sometimes. My mind is so busy that I can't listen. I mean, I've got a very busy mind. But I don't give up. I keep on being still. And I'll sit down and I'll be still. Oh, gosh. So, anyway, but I don't give up. I'm going to be still one day. And so there is no condemnation. We're free. But I know what I want. I know what my desire is. One thing have I desired, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, from morning till night, and night till morning, all the time. That's my desire. That's the desire that I have. So that's where we're going, you know. So more and more we are being changed into that glory. From glory to glory, he's changing. And then that scripture is being fulfilled. So the scriptures that we read in the Revelation, what I was just sharing, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our God and of his Christ. So maybe you, any of you here, might give me some light on that. You know, I'm listening, I'll listen. I'm learning to listen to my brothers and sisters. I don't always have to go over the top of it, you know. So we're learning, see? We're learning, you know. I'm learning. I don't have to correct everything. It's okay. God is the Father. He's leading. Every individual. God, the Father, is leading. Aren't you amazed sometimes? We were talking about that today, the Holy Spirit. And my brother there, Barry, he was saying, he was asking, you know how somebody asks a question, next day he opens it up, and there is the answer. Yes. Just, you know, you're just opening the page.
Yes.
There it is. Wow, the Spirit of God is everywhere present.
Yes.
All the time. All the time,
yes.
Never leaves us, nor forsakes us.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you love it?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I love it. So he is the source, okay? God is the source of our life. Father is the source. Divine nature. Deity, God, supreme being, Alpha and the Omega, the eternal presence I am. Well, that is a revelation that rocked me a bit, but I won't go on to this because we'll be here all night. So I think I'm just going to finish here now with this beautiful word of God that he spoke in Genesis 1. He said, be fruitful. Be a fruitful idea. You are a fruitful idea. You're a fruitful idea. We are all fruitful ideas.
Yes.
Oh, wow. Multiply and fill the earth. Fill this whole thing with that fruitful idea that God says we are. And then be fruitful. Another, you know, there's all these things that have come out over the years, and it says, I exist. Be fruitful. Well, which you understand, because being fruitful, I mean, you think about an apple, it's fruit, it's something that is there all the time, and you know, next year you're going to get them again, you see? And so I exist is forever existing, which is God. God never slumbers or sleeps, he's never going to die, he is existing forever. So I exist. Exist is to have being. Okay. Can you see that? What a freedom that this is?
Yes.
No more all these religious tags over our heads. So where do you go to church? Oh, I go to the Pentecostal church. Oh, I'm a Baptist. So I've got to bring, you know, I've got to tell you a few things. Oh, no, the Pentecostal church. Oh, no, I've got to fill you in on a few things. And this debate goes on all the time. Now, isn't this much better to have being? To have being in that wonderful Christ nature whose right it is to come.
Mm.
Oh, wow. To continue to be. That's what we are. We are continuing to be forever. Can you think of that? You know? Just blows your mind, which is good, because it cannot be done in the mind. It can only be done by the intuitive, beautiful revelation knowledge. So, the idea, a plan for action, okay? A plan for action, design, a project, okay? So, the Father has given us a project. One commandment I give unto you, that you love one another.
Mm-hmm.
Love them. Yes. See them the way they truly are. See like I see. That's the project, that idea. is coming with, you know? See everyone the way God sees, sees the whole world. And that's going to be the salvation. That's our prayer. That's the intercession that's going on now. And then, so I think I'll just leave it with that now, a little bit more. So Christ, this is a real beauty. Christ is the anointed, as we all know, okay? So apply ointment to or oil, okay? So then, anoint is lubricate, okay? So the Messiah is the anointed deliverer, savior. So we all understand that. We all have the feeling of that, don't you? We have the feeling of this savior, you know? And he's not far away. He's not a man. See, I used to look at Jesus as a man to be my savior. And I think we've all done that. We're all coming from the Orthodox background. So we've always all had this man, Jesus, to be our savior. It was took me about 3 months to let that man go. To get that revelation, God is not a man.
That's right.
You know? And it took me a long time because to me, that was getting out of the boat and stand on the water. Because I was still waiting for this man to come back that I could see, you see, with these physical eyes, you know. And that gave me comfort and assurance.
Yes.
You see. So, but that had to go. So all these physical ideas that we have all goes, you see. So God is spirit. It's okay. I know it now. So, the anointing is to lubricate, and you know what that does? Non-frictional. Now, we know when we have a car and it needs oil, and you hear all the noises, you know, you put a bit of oil in there, and everything is fine.
Runs smooth.
But you know, we can put a bit of oil into us and lubricate us, you know, and we have no friction, you see. Because that's sometimes what we have. You know, I have it sometimes with Tony. We have the friction. Because he's got an idea and I've got an idea. It's not the same idea. And then you get friction, see? So then you've got to let the oil of the Holy Spirit soften you, your heart. You know, when the heart turns to the Lord, everything changes. I said, well, what was that all about, you know? Can't even remember what it was. So that's good. That's the lubricating of our wonderful, wonderful God and Father who brought this thing into action and forever. Can you imagine that? Now that's what it is. So we're going to be together forever. Isn't that wonderful?
Yes.
It's so good to see you all again. I take you all with me in my suitcase.
I'm first.
So, you know, it says a little bit more here about lubricating, smear, rub, a thing with grease. So we have here the anointed Christ, also king by divine right. And, you know, in Revelation, it says that kings and priests he has made us to be. And so that's what we are. But like Jesus said, let this mind be in you, who was also in him. But he never thought of any, that he lifted himself up in any way. You know, God himself said, I am God, you everybody listens to me. There was none of that in the nature of our wonderful God. He's a servant. So we are servants unto all the whole world, really. Wherever we meet, that the one whose right it is comes forth, you know. It's so beautiful. And I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful to God for leading us into this way, you know. We're on a journey. It's a journey. And it's not always easy. But nevertheless, it is so good to obey that one who brought everything into action, because it is the truth and it is wonderful. See, it just, you know, the scripture just confirms itself, you know. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor. Isn't he the best counselor in the world?
Yes.
You know, that you can have. because we meet so many people now that are so, so disturbed. But I know, and they go to, and it's okay, I mean, everybody's got to work their journey, but I know that the Word of God is the best thing that can fix you up, and fix me up, and fix Tanya. So, you know, I know what it can do. It gives so much peace, and so much tranquility, and so much beauty, that there is nothing like it. There's none like you. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a song, there's none like that. Mm-hmm. So maybe we can just be still for a little minute.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And just let that just all, you know, just be still for a little while. And then we can have fellowship with each other, okay? Thank you all for coming. Because, you know, just beautiful to be together and to share this word that will be multiplied,
mm-hmm.
and we'll begin to see many, many more come to the true knowledge of God.
Much fruit.